We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Majority Leader Shikarchi, the General Assembly has barely passed any meaningful bills during nearly 6 months at the start of the legislative session. Then the budget gets voted out of House Finance while the details are in flux just hours beforehand and when committee members barely, if at all, get a chance to read what they're voting on. Isn't there a better way to do this?
The speaker is committed to not have late night sessions, and part of the reason why we haven't passed, as you put it, a lot of bills, although I disagree because in the last 2 weeks we've passed over 100 bills in the House. But the reality is a lot of these bills have fiscal impacts. So we need to know, as you know, the budget is, we have a deficit this year. We need to know the costs of these programs before we enact them. And we also can't do really a lot of substantive stuff before we have our revenue numbers in the first week of May. If a lot of legislation does not have a fiscal impact, then those tend to move faster and earlier in the session. But any bill that costs money, we have to always balance it. As you know, we have a constitutional obligation to pass a balanced budget, unlike Washington that can just pass it and worry about paying for it some other time.
You know, I know that you have to look at the fiscal impact and wait till you get your May revenue numbers, but you guys at the State House remind me of college kids who come in and party the entire semester, and then you cram and stay up half the night before the final exam. I mean, there are things that have no real fiscal impact. For instance, marijuana legislation. There are other things that you just don't deal with until the end.
Well,
why is that?
Marijuana legislation, we passed our study commission.
It's June.
I
You've been there since January.
So let me explain to you why this was a delay in that one. First of all, we wanted to do a joint commission with the Senate, so we need to take some input from the Senate. The decision to delay the implementation or actually the vote on whether it would be legalization or not wasn't made until early May, late April. And then even yesterday, some of the advocates who 2 weeks ago wanted to be on that commission and wrote to us, we took the legislation off the calendar, we added them in committee, put them back on the floor. They wrote us a letter and said, we've changed our mind. We don't want to be on the marijuana commission. We had to do a floor amendment to pass the marijuana study commission. So the reason for that is, Scott, in a lot of bills, you try to work from consensus. Everybody, the Senate, the House, the governor, you want to get input from everybody. Not everybody is as efficient as Ian Donis or Scott McKay getting you information right away. It takes time. Everybody has a change of mind. Everybody has to take opinions from stakeholders. So if you want to work from consensus and you want to have input from the public at large and you want to have hearings and you want to hear what people have to say who are affected by legislation, it's a process. And that's why there's a delay.
You're a Warwick guy, so I want to ask you about former Governor Lincoln Chafee. He's been putting himself back into the news in recent months. He says he's considering a run for governor next year. Do you see any possibility that he might run instead to be mayor of Warwick, his old job?
I think you'd have to ask him that, but Link is certainly formidable. Whatever he decides, he has the name. He's got name recognition. He was mayor of Warwick. He was U.S. senator, and he was governor. So just those things alone make him formidable. He has some substantial personal assets. Whatever office he chose to run for, either mayor or Warwick, he would be a formidable candidate.
Progressive lawmakers say Rhode Island needs its own law to protect a woman's right to choose an abortion. They point to how President Donald Trump could appoint more justices to the U.S. Supreme Court and how Roe v. Wade could potentially be overturned. Will we see a vote in the House this session on the measure known as the Reproductive Health Care Act? And if not, why not?
I'm not sure we're going to see a vote or not. I don't. I understand to some people it is very important. It's very passionate. I was at the Women's Democratic Caucus this week, and I heard very strongly, loudly, and clearly how to those people in that room, this was their single issue. But we have to balance that. I will tell you that Roe v. Wade is the law in Rhode Island. It is the law in Rhode Island for 40 years. Women's reproductive health rights are available today. They'll be available tomorrow. This legislation will not change anything in Rhode Island. I understand there's a fear of Washington and Donald Trump, but any changes that would come from the Supreme Court would take years to be in effect. So I don't know if we're going to see a vote on this, but I want to point out that the practical effect is that abortion is safe and legal in Rhode Island today and will be safe and legal in Rhode Island tomorrow.
We're talking with House Majority Leader Joseph Shikarchi. Let's go back to Scott.
The Pawtucket Red Sox, they like a long home run that's going, gone.
Are you asking me if they're coming there? I don't know. I have had no contact with the Pawtucket Red Sox, but I think that this is my opinion, and I've shared this opinion with some of my colleagues and friends.
What do your constituents think?
Honestly, not one constituent has called me pro or for about the Paw Sox. But if I were a political consultant, and I were, and I used to be a political consultant, if I were a political consultant, I was advising the Paw Sox, I would go out and tell them to sell the deal, not sell Pawtucket with waterfalls and bulldozers. I go out and explain to the public why, you know, how much the Pawtucket Red Sox pay in revenue now, in which I believe is about $1.8 million, and ask why we want that $1.8 million redirected into a bond and what we do with the bond, and we would preserve the Red Sox. There are only 70 Major League and AAA teams in the country. We're lucky we have one in Rhode Island. It's a first-class product, baseball. There are economic benefits, but the burden is on them to sell it to the public. It's one thing to sell it to the legislators or the mayors or the governors or the insiders or the political people. They need to sell the deal to the public, because from what I've heard about the deal and what I've read in the newspaper and in your respective, you know, columns and stuff, it doesn't seem like a bad deal. The problem is that the public has to be brought into the process. So I would tell them to go out and sell that, go in the media and talk about the deal and why it's a good deal for the state of Rhode Island. They've been around for 80 years, how much they generate in revenue, and the benefits that it would bring to the city of Pawtucket, economic development benefits, not only for building a new stadium, but all the land around that.
Do you think the Paw Sox ownership should take a page from the owners of Twin River, who were very patient and community-oriented, seemingly, in their approach to getting approval for a new facility in Tiverton?
Absolutely, yes. Not only the Twin River model worked, but John Taylor, the president of Twin River, literally went into people's homes. If there were a community event, if there were 10 people at a Rotary or a church dinner, they were there explaining the benefits to the casino. It passed in Tiverton, which was no easy thing, and it passed statewide. So, yes, they need to do that. They need to do that, some kind of a program, a statewide campaign. They need to bring the public into this process, and they need to get public support behind the project.
We're almost out of time here, Majority Leader Shikarchi, but for a number of years, lawmakers, Democrats and Republicans alike, have proposed creating an office of Inspector General in Rhode Island. They say this office would more than pay for itself by rooting out fraud and waste, but the Democratic leadership of the legislature never supports this idea. Why not?
I think because that's why we have an Attorney General. And it's a constitutional office. And if you create that, first of all, you have to give it, you know, it's a whole bureaucracy. There's a substantial cost involved, millions and millions of dollars. Who does that person or that commission answer to? Is it answer to the governor or the attorney general? I mean, in Rhode Island, we have an attorney general staff that's very competent. We have a U.S. attorney's office that's very competent. They don't seem to be lack of performing on my part. I think the U.S. attorney and the attorney general have been doing a good job rooting out crime in Rhode Island. So it's a duplication of efforts, and it's this whole constitutional argument. Are you creating a fifth branch of government? Where are they getting their statutory authority or constitutional authority to make arrests or do investigations? I mean, it's a great idea to say we need an inspector general, but show me the details, show me the cost involved, and show me the constitutional authority to get it done. And then what do you do with the attorney general and his staff?
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Joseph Shikarchi, Majority Leader in the Rhode Island House of Representatives.
Always a pleasure.